let's get into this exciting part here, and that is, what controls life? And as you mentioned, I was led into this understanding of genes by history, because there was perceptions and beliefs of scientists that were shaped over time. And one of the pieces of information that shaped our understanding of heredity and genetics was from Charles Darwin. And Darwin brought to people an understanding that was so obvious, but they just needed to see it, and that was this. The question of biology is what controls life, and what he looked at, and he said, you know, the traits of a child are derived from the traits of the parent. That whatever characters a child's expressing, you could see these characters in the parents. And based on a Newtonian world, a universe made out of matter and chemicals, it was believed that the character of life, that whatever is being passed from parent to child that controls the character of life must be something physical in those germ cells, in those eggs and sperm. So the direction was already set by Darwin. He said, if you want to understand what controls life, identify this element that's in the germ cell that in some way controls heredity. He had no idea of genes, but he knew there was something in there that controlled it. And it was obvious because the kids had the characters of the parents. So that got people looking in the germ cells. And about 1892, chromosomes were discovered. And they said, they looked at these chromosomes and they appear just before the cell divides, and that they showed irregularities of the chromosomes were associated with irregularities in the organism. And they started to put the pieces together and say, that's that stuff. In that chromosome, that's the stuff that controls life, because that's what they were looking for. And they found that the chromosome had two components, proteins and DNA. And they said, geez, one of these things must be the one that controls life. And they didn't know which one. And it was as late as 1945, they still didn't know what controlled life. So it wasn't that long ago, really. Up to 1945, they weren't sure, proteins or the DNA. And an experiment was done by three guys, Avery, McLeod, McCarty, in 1945. And what they did is they took a chromosome from one species of bacteria and split it up into DNA and to the protein. And in a different species, they added in one set of dishes the protein from the chromosome and in another set of dishes the DNA, and said, well, if one of these changes the fate, then from the species they isolated the DNA from would change the character of the species they put the DNA in the tissue culture. And sure enough, they found that the DNA changed the traits of the bacteria and the protein didn't. So in 1945, the answer was DNA controls life. 9 years later, Watson and Crick, and we have, I remember as a youngster, the paper, the New York tabloid, big front page, black, no picture even that day, just big black print, secret of life discovered. And that was sort of the biggest turning point in biology, because they said, we got the answers. It's DNA, and DNA controls life. And they created what is called the central dogma. And it's interesting because as a teacher in the university, I was teaching the central dogma, which was formulated by Francis Crick, the guy who was like Watson and Crick, the DNA guys. And Francis Crick came up with this assumption that they, after 100 years, they already had a belief system, and now he spelled it out. He said that DNA is the hereditary molecule, the gene, and that's converted into RNA, which is like a Xerox copy. And the Xerox copy, the RNA, is a blueprint to make the proteins. And the proteins are the molecules that give your body its structure and its function. So the character of the proteins is controlled by the DNA. And everybody was happy, and it was called the central dogma. It says DNA controls life. And we bought into it. And we bought into it that genes determine life, and that there are good genes, there are bad genes, and that your life was predetermined in a sense at the moment of conception, so that whatever genes you got from your mother and your father, they sorted themselves out, a selection of them was made, and that selection was sort of like a fate map, that for the rest of your life, that these genes were going to determine your structure, your behavior, all the characters of your life. And so we bought into that, and what that did is that this concept called genetic determinism was a piece of knowledge that brought us to the belief that we are victims. that we're victims of heredity, that things are passed down in your family and they come from your generation after generation. These genes are passed down, and that these genes are going to express themselves in your life, and you're going to have those traits that were passed down, so that when you look and somebody says, oh my goodness, you know, my father died when he was 52 and my grandfather died when he was 48 and I'm 46. Geez, I'm in a lot of trouble because I only got a couple of years left here. Or cancer, my aunt had the cancer and my grandmother had the cancer and my sister had the cancer, and it's like, oh my God, I have genes for cancer. And what we bought into is victimization. And the issue about this is why it's very critical is very simply this, is that presumably we didn't pick the genes that we have in our bodies. We can't change the genes that we have in our bodies. The genes control who we are, so we are, in a sense, powerless. And with that powerless belief thrust upon us, there's a general tendency for us to become more irresponsible, thinking, well, you can't do anything about it, so who even cares now at this point? And this whole malaise has led to this current status of health where we're all so afraid that our lives are out of our control, that things like bacteria can kill us, and we're afraid of the avian flu, and we're afraid of these genes turning on. And while all of that was going on, there was this big idea called the Human Genome Project. And the Human Genome Project was, and it's interesting because there's two sides to the story. There's the public side of the story, and that was this. Let's do a Human Genome Project, and what we'll do is we'll identify all of the genes that make up a human, and then when we have all these genes, if anybody has a problem, we could genetically engineer them and fix their problems, and this was going to be the last biology project, and salvation was coming, utopia, you know, you could fix anything now.
And then what happened?
Surface view. What's that?
And then what happened?
And then the cosmic joke. And the cosmic joke, which is so exciting, because by then I'd already resigned from the university, because before the project got started, I already saw it. I thought, oh my God, genes don't control this thing. And yet the momentum was on. They were doing the project. And the interesting aspect underlying is that the Human Genome Project was actually created by venture capitalists. And what they had envisioned was that they would patent the genes and then sell the patents to the drug industry.